previously on TV Podcast Network.
What is going on?
We must all be here for Dick.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 21, Straight Shooter. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah. Are you, in fact, here for Dick?
Always.
Thanks for the tip, Dick.
Just the tip.
Shall we begin?
Sure.
So that we can get to the tip of Dick. Anyway, I don't know. Starting with our C plot. Kelly and Claire try role playing, but not the good kind like you want. So Claire got a suite at some fancy hotel in Palm Desert, and Kelly is going with her. And I have in my notes, in an actually cute dress, but then I went to do the visual aids yesterday, and I think it's actually a suit. There's like a weird flap over the skirt that makes me think it's two pieces. Did you clock this at all? It's in the visual aids.
I think it is two pieces.
It's a cute print, but yeah, it's that's a little busy. It's like Val's bone colored, like, that's that short sleeved suit that she wore to, what is his name? Kenny? Is that his name? It's been so long.
Kenny Bannerman. Anyway. Yes.
Yes. Thank
Never
you.
Forget.
Anyway, Claire and her one shoulder tank top look much worse. So moving on. While they're checking in, Kelly sees two dudes in the lobby giving them the eye. And we hear about that in clip two.
No, Roger, it's going to be too awkward trying to meet him. What are you going to say? Hi, you're both gorgeous. You want to take a mud bath together? Come on.
I've got a better idea. Stay with me.
Come on.
Excuse me. Would you settle a bet? By any chance, are you both with the Ukrainian folk dance troupe?
Da. But of course.
You are?
Wow. And I thought that was just a good line. That's great. Welcome to America. I'm Roger Burnett.
Dean.
I'm Irina, and this is my friend Katarina. We must go now. Do svidaniya.
I can't believe you just did that.
Well, you told Donnie you wanted to reinvent yourself, so now you're Madame Katarina.
They're incredible.
Yes, Blanche, they are.
Does this guy know he's supposed to be into girls? Because that line reading does not suggest that he does.
And these two are really dowdy dudes. This whole thing is so, like, it's only the end of season 7 and they've already run out of ideas to this extent. Also, this is a whole subplot and they don't know how to spell Ukrainian. You could see it in the
blades. Also, I'm not sure, but I think Ukrainian and Russian are two different languages. I mean, Claire the Brainiac should know that probably, but she might just be assuming that the guys don't know and apparently is right if that's the case.
Yeah, I actually don't know. You are welcome to add us with corrections, but don't, because that'll mean that you care about this plot and you should not.
Anyway, Roger, one of the two guys, gets the idea of following the girls' luggage. And so when they get back from their massages, the creepers have slipped a note under their door. Kelly doesn't want to hang out with them, but Claire makes her for some reason and then tutors her on a fake Russian accent, even though supposedly, as I said, they are Ukrainian. And later the guys find them by the pool. They are a design team who, because it's 1997, their job is they make astrology screensavers. What? How would that even work? Like, are we supposed to think you're getting a different horoscope every day? Because no, not in 1997. That would not work.
I don't know.
Anyway. Supposedly, they also designed the Mission Impossible website. And then Kelly tries to hustle them out as the real dancers in costume go by. And they agree to go tour the desert with them the next day for some reason. But before they go out the next day, Kelly tells Claire her strategy is to drop her Ukrainian act as soon as she can. Claire will follow suit. First, she has to get the phone, though. And supposedly their plan is to go for a hike, but the guys are 100% dressed for golf and the girls are in dresses. Like, Claire's might pass. It's kind of loose and flowy, but Kelly is like fully in a sheath cocktail dress, like she's going to a club. It's very strange. You can see that in the visual aids, too. She goes into the next room to retrieve Claire, who's on the phone getting bad news, which we will get to. Bad news about a dick.
Is there any other kind?
No.
No.
All right. On to our B plot. Dawn is still dating two dudes at the Peach Pit after dark. David and Donna have an awkward conversation about their shitty relationship. She is still pissy about Chloe, which he insists was just business, tit business. Despite the exposed bra, David finally admits that Chloe did come on to him, but that he turned her down because he wanted to get back with Donna. She says the appeal of Cliff is that she feels safe with them, with him, and David very dismissively says he knows he wasn't there for the whole hostage thing. That's a direct quote. But that he's been there for her so many other times and can't believe she has such a short memory. I assume that he's referring to the time that he saved her from Garrett Sland's attempted rape, because I don't know what else there is. He sucks, generally.
Yeah.
But she says she hasn't forgotten in clip three.
Then why'd you come here, to rub Cliff in my face again?
No. I came here because I feel bad about what's happened, too.
Well, if you feel that way, why don't you do something about it instead of leaving me hanging?
Just let me straighten things out with Cliff first.
When you say straighten things out, I hope you mean tell him it's over. I hope you don't plan on juggling the two of us.
I'll talk to him today.
No, break up. This is really controlling and gross.
Yeah. Also, David has the option of opting out if you do decide to juggle both of them, which he should do because he clearly doesn't like you, and neither do I, but I'm not trying to date you, so... Ugh. I mean, Cliff is boring, but he's so, like, David is the worst. Whatever.
Well, yeah, and also, like, Donna is acting like the reason that she's so drawn to David is because of all of his history, except all he does is use it against her. Like, you're not moving forward. This is not healthy. Break up. It's bad.
Yeah, and you too, Cliff. Like, have you two even kissed?
Right. I think they've kissed. They kissed when they went camping, I think.
But, like, you don't... Well, whatever. You don't give up a job in a mysterious park in Orlando, AUX. I'm sure.
We'll get to it. So some dudes come in with gear. David tells them, Donna, they have a new DJ, like, as if she gives a shit. Also, it never comes up again, so why? But anyway, he wants to make sure that she's still coming for the event. And she that night, she feebly says she is, which I guess means something will prevent her. So I thought she does end up showing up. Donna meets Cliff at the marina, where he's staying on a friend's boat. Donna's parents also have a boat, of course, and Cliff ran into them at the ice machine. He wants to know why Donna hasn't come to see him this week, and she blahs a bunch of bullshit. He tells her that before she gets a grip on reality, whatever that means, she has to come sailing with him. But she has to tell him something in clip four.
I'm not sure I like the sound of this. You're going back to David.
I have to.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You super don't. Like... This is really sick.
Extra don't. Ugh.
He can't tell her what to do, he says, but he's not giving up without a fight. Thinks there was something special in the way they met with the fire and the deer. And when she begs him not to make this harder than it is, he says he can't promise that. Which is, of course, when Dr. Martin shows up. Felice invited Clip for a dockside family brunch the next day. And he only accepted if Donna said she would come too. So... Then Donna makes it to the Peach Pit after dark that night. Things between her and David are pleasant as long as she's complimenting him on the great night. But then she admits that she still hasn't ended things with Cliff and explains about the brunch. And hilariously, David knows that if Felice is on Team Cliff, David is fucked. Or so you'd think. Donna goes next door to tell Nat all about her relationship problems. But before we can get to Nat's boring opinions, Donna looks up and sees that Cliff is there and goes to talk to him instead. And at this point... Their story also gets braided into the A plot, so let's get to it. All right, here we go. Dick learns the hard way that dope is for dopes. So Brandon is back to playing basketball for the first time since season one.
He's wearing a tank top the size of an America's Cup sail, God, so by the way. I mean, they all are, but it's particularly unfortunate on him. He looks like he's playing dress up, basically.
Like, I know you're not, it was the 90s, like people weren't wearing tight Under Armoury type workout clothes at the time. But yes, it really makes him look teeny tiny, like he's in a baby onesie. Anyway, a three-man basketball tournament is coming up, and it looks like Dick is their third. And he immediately starts smoking a joint off screen, of course, as soon as they break. He also doesn't believe that Steve sank a basket at the Lakers game, for you continuity heads. And apparently Dick's basketball skills evaporate after one inhalation of weed. You can see in the visual aids because I made a gif of him doing a spectacular air ball. Brandon sends Tracy to the car so he can dad out on Dick and Steve. Steve gives an ultimatum about Brandon gives them an ultimatum about playing high. Steve immediately says it won't happen again because he can't stand to lose Brandon's approval for a 15th time, I guess. Back at the Walsh house, Val gets a call from a reporter. Again, at home, not her office, even though presumably that's what a reporter would want to talk to her about. Sounds like this Gigi Crane is from La La, an LA Weekly type magazine, or as Brandon puts it, Clip 5.
One of those periodicals for the tragically hip.
Drink.
So dumb. Anyway, Gigi's working on an article on the 50 coolest people in LA that you've never heard of. And when we meet her at the Peach Pit, where else? She is a scenester who talks a lot about fabulosity, yet is extremely basic, obviously. We also get a scene of all three basketball goofs having dinner at the Walsh house with Tracy, which is not noteworthy except when Tracy leaves the table saying this, Clip 6.
If anybody wants me, I'll be watching the tube making fun of the other anchor women.
Tracy! Our people, please dump Brandon and get on with your life. Goodbye.
Yeah. I wish I thought that she was saying that with any kind of self-awareness of like including herself in that group, but it is sort of a cute line.
No. Well, no. But, you know, in this episode, you take what you can get.
True.
I took that.
So true. Ellen, the bitchy sorority girl, is back and sitting with Tracy to cheer on Dick at the basketball tournament. It eats up time, so I'm not mad, except that our heroes team is the Marauders.
What? Why?
I don't know. Dick and Ellen, the bitchy girlfriend, end up at the Peach Pit After Dark with Steve. Dick quickly getting sloppy drunk. Brandon, of course, judges him, forcing Steve to defend Dick, but they're not playing until mid-afternoon the next day, and Brandon tells Tracy he's tired of being the narc, but maybe he shouldn't be, because then Dick is grabbing Steve to tell him he has a surprise. Steve says he's not getting stoned tonight, and Dick says he has something better in Clip 7.
What is it?
China white.
That's heroin.
Yeah, man, the real thing.
Have you done that before?
No, but hey,
there's a first time for everything, right?
No. I told Brandon I'd get you home nice and early. We got a game tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the idea. I'm going to go into the bathroom and take a little hit. My Ellen drive me home or I can crash in pigs. Don't worry. I'll save a little taste for you.
Oh, don't bother. I'm afraid of needles. I'm not injecting anything into my body.
You don't inject it into your... You snort this like coke. This stuff is pure, man. Look, just keep an eye out for Ellen, okay?
You can really snort this stuff?
Sure.
All right, save me a taste.
You got it, man.
Okay.
Okay.
You please start.
Okay. Apparently I'm the drug czar of this podcast. But this is not about that. They wouldn't show them smoking the joint in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. Like, they made sure to imply that that's what was going on, but they wouldn't show it. And then in this episode, they're basically instructing today's youth on how to do heroin without needles.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, this was just post Trainspotting. Trainspotting came out the year before. So presumably some of the audience had probably already seen it, like the people like us who were maybe still watching it as adults because they had started watching in high school. I mean, I guess it started after you were already in college, but I mean, they don't show him do it, but still, it's like almost everyone I know has smoked weed, As far as I know, zero people I know escalated to heroin at all, never mind over the course of a day.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, pot was not a gateway drug to anything for me, so I don't know, but it's like, and of course it's this character, and I mean, also, this actor is looking more and more like Jim Carrey as the episode goes on, and then it's like, has these goofy smiles, and is like doing these goofy dances, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What even is this? Like, what are you trying to do? And then, as you will see in the visual aids, what they think is an extremely harrowing portrayal.
Oh my God, yes, we'll get to it.
Of Dick's overdose is actually hilarious.
All right, we're not there yet.
I'm sorry.
Val brings Gigi back to the club that night, but one of Gigi's friends or colleagues or whatever dismisses it as a frat party crowd, which it is. Val defensively says it's a CU hangout. She doesn't see the need to change it. Gigi says she shouldn't. When the La La piece comes out, she'll get a whole new clientele. And oh my God, that turns out to be true in the next episode to a preposterous degree, but we'll get to that also. In the hall, outside the can, Ellen is all mad that Dick has disappeared and assumes he's in there smoking weed. So Steve goes in to find him and someone's keeled over in a stall. Steve rips the door open, but Dick is ODing in clip 8.
I don't want to die.
You're not going to die. You're not going to die. Come on. Come on.
I mean, like, watching this now when the country, like, an opioid epidemic has the country by the balls, like, it makes it even funnier how out of touch this is. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless Ziering. If he can't act well, he's going to just act wildly. But, man, it's not good. I mean, it's affecting. I was affected by laughter.
Yeah. But yeah, no.
I get angry just thinking about it makes me mad. Little kids doing drugs, it turns my stomach. That stuff hurts. It stops you from living up to your potential. It holds you back. It hurts the user. It hurts his family. And it hurts his friends. I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and think about using. So remember, don't or else. Okay?
Okay.
So Cliff ends up doing CPR on Dick while they wait for the ambulance. It doesn't look good, but he does get bagged as they wheel him off. And Val has to try to stop Gigi using the photos of Dick in her article. But she gets pulled away by a cop because apparently her good friend Steve told the cops that Dick got the heroin from a dealer at the club. Wait, good looking out, Steve. Val denies that there was a dealer there or that there has ever been one, which, I mean, come on. Probably that's
it's
not accurate.
Club. Come on.
So Cliff tells Donna that Dick was already dead when Cliff got to him. David rolls up at this point to see if Donna's okay. Like, I would think as co-owner of the club, he would have business to deal with. And then Cliff has to twist the knife in clip 9.
Well, I'm sure Donna's folks won't be too thrilled to know she's been hanging around a club where kids do drugs in the bathroom.
Well, who asked you?
Cliff, it's not fair.
I know. But someone dying so young isn't fair either.
Mr. Silver, we need you to come with us.
Why?
I'm going to spell it out for you. You're under suspicion for distributing narcotics.
Bye.
I mean, whatever, but fine. Looks good on you.
Yeah.
Beat it.
Also, like, Cliff is being kind of a schoolmarm here, but at the same time, like, you work your angles, and that's a good one, given who Donna's parents are.
Well, and Donna is just being a complete simp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's completely freaking out like she's ever spent any substantive time with Dick or cares about him or runs the club or anything.
Right.
Like, her whole response to this is, well, whatever. She has, like, Tori Spelling has, like, two acting modes. We'll get into this more in the next full-length episode, but sometimes the direction is not appropriate to the situation, and this is one of those cases.
Yes. So the next day, Donna calls Claire at the resort to tell her and Kelly about Dick. The guys stand in the doorway, eavesdropping on Kelly's call as her American accent comes back in. They get all mad about it, like, read the room. This is not about you. Kelly tells Dean and Roger that a friend of theirs died last night, and Roger's all like, we'd believe anything you phonies say, like, okay, bye. Like, the stakes of this are zero. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, Kelly says she and Claire will come right home, but she wants to know how Steve is taking it. Donna says, bad. Cut to the Walsh house, where Steve is staring at himself in the mirror and ignoring a ringing phone. And also Brandon knocking on the door in the giantest chinos that ever chinoed. You can see the visual aids as well.
It's actually the town of Chino.
Yes, it is Chino, California, on from Brandon's waist to the floor. As Steve fishes some weed out of a box, he pouts that he's not picking up because it's probably Claire and he doesn't want to talk to her. So Brandon walks through the bathroom just in time to see Steve about to light a pipe and start rolling on his Emmy clip in clip 10.
What are you doing?
Well, you got something better? I could sure use it, man. I got this pain. It's killing me. Dick's dead. Listen to that. Dick's dead. I got Val and David in trouble. I can't sleep. I got these nightmares. These monsters dance across my eyelids when I close them. I can't sleep. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about all the chances I had to change things.
Steve, smoking pot isn't going to help you change anything.
Oh, do you know, narc?
I don't know what do I do. You're gonna get through this, Steve. And you're gonna be okay.
Cool.
Like, you'd think this was, since they've already busted out the continuity earlier in this episode, like, this would be the chance for Brandon to say something about, like, when Josh died, I blah blah blah, but they don't even bother. Like, he cares so little about this.
Ugh.
I will
also
say,
I don't know. I just hate soapy writing that's like, what are you doing? Like, he's packing a one hitter, you dolt. Since you're such a narc, maybe you should know what he's doing.
I also love the jersey that Ian Ziering puts on. Dick's dead. A lot of D's in that.
Dick's dead. Listen to that. Dick's dead.
Extra ones. Anyway, elsewhere, Donna shows up late.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
Okay. Donna shows up late for brunch to passive-aggressive sniping from Felice and at least has the excuse of a guy died, which Dr. Martin then says they heard about, so why was Felice being such a C about it other than it's Felice?
And how anyway, did she also hear knows about that, the like, marinapatch.com?
Yeah.
Oh, someone died at the pee pad. What?
Well, Cliff was there.
Oh, right.
So I assume he dropped a dime.
Oh, no, but
on
David. They make a point of saying that they didn't hear it from him.
Oh. Mm.
Or he makes a point of being like, I wasn't telling tales out of school. They already knew.
Maybe it was on the radio.
Who cares? Anyway.
They know Dick's parents. Why are we thinking about this? Felice also knows that the cops took David and Val in for questioning and hopes they didn't have anything to do with it. Donna snipes back. Felice backs off. Dr. Martin gets her to go down to the galley with him, Felice, not Donna, whereupon Cliff claims he wasn't gossiping. You're right. There it is. He then also says he's been offered the job of head of safety at a very famous theme park, which they probably could have gotten the rights to mention if the show were on ABC.
Yep.
She pointedly asks if the park is in Anaheim, but it's not. It's in Orlando. He told them he needed a week to think about it because if he knew he had a chance with Donna, he would stay, which is when Felice comes up and is basically like, you better lock that shit down. And I agree. At the police station, David and Val are leaving with reassurances from her lawyer. Apparently, the cops aren't pressing charges now, which doesn't mean they won't ever, but okay. The lawyer does recommend that they tighten up security at the club. David and his toothpick seem dubious. And then, oh my God, David Fisher's husband, Keith, is telling the basketball team that the Marauders forfeit because they only have two members. The greatest tragedy. Clip 11.
really glad you made me come, Brandon.
To tell you the truth, I didn't want to do this by myself.
Think we could have taken him?
Ah, who knows? Who cares?
We could have taken him. Yeah.
Who thought we needed closure on the basketball storyline, honestly?
Fucking Jason Priestley. Anyway.
Back at brunch, Felice is in love with Cliff. Can't believe he's from New York, which was, as we all know, means she can't believe he's Jewish. Just kidding. She thinks New Yorkers are coarse. And then some kid is showing up with a note for Donna. It's a card from David that says, "I love you, D." And the D is in quotation marks. Why? Why? Also, it's not "I love you, comma, D." It's like, I love it. It's a bad note is my point.
Shit. She doesn't love your D. That's the whole problem in your fucking relationship. Break up and kill yourselves. Yeah, love S.
Honestly. So David is there in a new shirt, probably unshowered, to woo Donna back with this extremely half-assed gesture. Of course it works. Donna's all, "I have to be with David." Dr. Martin's like, "Tell him to come for coffee." And Felice tries to stop Donna going, but Dr. Martin says it's Donna's decision and once again pulls Felice away so that Donna can dump Cliff in private. She tells Cliff she's making her choice. She wants Cliff to take that job because she loves Donna and she hopes he understands. I don't. And then Cliff, oh God, Clip 12.
"You know, sometimes the only way to stop a fire is to let it burn out. So if it does between the two of you, don't be surprised if I come around again."
Gross. Like, this is what I don't like about this guy. Like, this is way too early with the destiny foolishness. Like, you have kissed, what, once?
Yeah. Also, you were gone for, like, many months.
Also, you're boring.
The other thing is, like, when he's like, "If things go bad with you and David or whatever," like, how would he know? Are we supposed to think they're going to, like, have a letter-writing conversation or relationship? It's not like he can go on Facebook and see her relationship status. Like, it's the past. Whatever. Donna confidently walks off to David and his giant outfit, which you can see in the visual aids, for their emotional reunion, I guess. I wish she had stomped right past him, but she kisses him, and Felice, watching, is hilariously pissed, which you can also see in the visual aids because I made a GIF. Once again, I am Felice. Back at the Peach Pit after dark, a shitty memorial has been set up for Dick, which you can also see in the visual aids. Everyone is sad except Steve, who sees someone brought a bong to the pile of tat around Dick's photo and gets pissed in our final clip.
"Who left this here? Who left a pod pipe here? Whose bong is this? No one's, huh? Fine."
That was him breaking it.
"Listen up. Don't leave any drug paraphernalia here. Let's not make this cool. This is not cool. This is stupid. I know what I'm talking about. I'm alive today because Dick died first. I was next in line to catch that same bus. I told him to save me some. And I found him in the bathroom. Wanna know what his last words were? I don't want to die."
Crickets.
That's what he said.
Love it.
He knew he blew it. He knew it. So if you want to come here, hang out and memorialize Richard Harrison, and you remember he was a scholar, that he was a leader, he was an athlete, that he was a 22-year-old who had a brilliant future in front of him that got wiped away because he was doing drugs. You remember that. And remember his last words. I don't want to die."
So here's my question. The clip starts, "Who left this pot pipe here? Who left this bong here?" Do you think that originally it was the writers put pot pipe for kids who didn't know what it was? And then Ian Ziering was like,
"Who left this bong here?"
And then Ian Ziering was like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm not cool enough to know what a bong is. And so he added that. Do you think that's what happened?
Maybe.
All right. I'll accept
Sarah can't answer because yeah, that song.
That's actually true. Who left this bong here? Who? But instead of dogs barking, it should be the bubbling of a bong. Not that I would know anything about that. You know, I actually did like a record search to try to find my own mugshot for the visual aids because it was 1994.
Really?
I couldn't find it.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It was so
anyway,
bad.
Speaking of too bad, then fucking Brandon gives Steve Dick's fucking Marauders jersey to put in the memorial. Like the shirt they had made for a 2-day tournament is supposed to be meaningful at all. Whatever. End of episode. Bye, Dick.
Oh, so long, Dick. Sorry you went limp. He actually did. And now that I've saved that one for many episodes and I've used it, we can move on.
Congratulations. Thanks. All right. Let's close up with naming our MVP. I mean, you for that joke, but I'm going to say as a backup, Dr. Martin, who at least is trying to control his woman, even though there's no point.
I'm going to go with Dick's dealer who managed to escape. Like manslaughter charges or charges of any kind, didn't have to be on camera, presumably was not at the memorial, did not have to sit through Steve's agonizing. So, yeah, that guy or girl, I guess.
Yep. All right. Least valuable player. David, the controlling shithead whose control ends up working somehow. Oh, teen girls, do better.
Dick.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, on to a user-submitted challenge. This comes from @PSUCarrie on Twitter, who asks for us to list 5 things David did that made you want to punch his punchable face in this episode. Okay, I'm going to start with the toothpick in the teeth at the fucking cop shop. God, have some class. What the hell?
Yet another XXXXXL polo shirt that reaches to mid-thigh. No.
Being a very bad partner to Val, not even paying attention to her when a guy died in what is supposed to be half his club.
Having girly handwriting, even in a note so short that it really should not work on Donna.
Maybe that's why he was F on his driver's license. And finally, everything he said to Donna, including the stuff he said to get back together with her that worked, because I hate him. I hate him so.
And that is 5.
That's 5.
Next time on Again With This, dumb wiener kid runs away and Kelly is a bitch about it, but maybe not in the way you think. Donna and David flash back to the not-that-great generation, and Val reels in Smith Jared somehow, while Steve is paralyzed with grief over Dick's death. Just kidding, no, everybody's forgotten all about that guy in favor of infomercial stuff and sex in the control room. You'll want to fade your retinas to black when you check out our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can follow our website on Twitter @PreviouslyTV, and you can follow this podcast @AWT90210. I'm Potpipe of Remembrance, Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter @TomatoNation. My co-host is Dying Declaration, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter @TaraAriano. Our producer is the tragically hip David T. Cole. He's on Twitter @Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.